14 Mile Island. Why so called, the oldest inhabitant does not say. But it is presumed that the distance from the head of the lake was guessed at in old times and called it 14 miles. It is, however, but 12. It contains about a dozen acres of land and rock covered with a scanty growth of Norway pine, oak, and chestnut. The rocky surface is glorified with beautiful lichens, mosses, and wavy ferns. On the east, a deep and narrow channel through which the steamers can easily pass separates it from the mainland. On the west side is the hotel, built originally as a hunting lodge, and added to as the demand called for more room. It will now accommodate about 40 guests, is the lowest point at which the excursion boats stop, and noted especially for the immaculate neatness of its table. The island is a favorite resort for sportsmen on account of its nearness to that mythical spot at Lake George known as the best fishing ground. For, to tell the truth, fishing ain't what it used to was. Experts, however, are very successful here and make it a point of departure for the woods and water, managing to work up an appetite to do full justice to Miss Jane's excellent substantials and irreproachable pastries. Lying out as it does between the point of the tongue and shelving rock, with the broad lake spreading out on the south and the narrows gemmed with its many islands on the north, its open position, where the course of the sun can be observed from its rising above the frowning rock until its setting behind the pinnacle across the lake, together with the great variety of foliage, its ferns and moss-covered rocks, renders the island peculiarly attractive to the artist. It is owned by E.C. Smith of Albany, and as a general thing, is not much given to the pomps and vanities of dress. Still, it crops out occasionally, and especially when the Waltonians come in their natty uniforms to set everybody crazy with admiration. Even at other times, young ladies need not be deterred from stopping for fear they will not receive proper attention, for the Chesterfieldian owner spends his summers here, and his ear is always open to the cry of beauty in distress. His boat, and willing arm ready for a voyage of discovery among the islands, or if a mountain is to be climbed, his knowledge of the surrounding country and services as a guide are freely placed at their disposal. His zeal in this respect, coupled with his chivalric nature, has brought him to grief on more than one occasion, and compelled him to pass the night among the mountains, with a few boughs for his bed and sky above for a covering. He is said to be very fond of cold tongue, and thereby hangs a tale which you must get him to relate if you would hear. Just inshore from the south end of 14 Mile Island is the hen and chickens, not a clucking, scratching, fussy, actual old hen with her bug-pursuing brood, but a pretty little group of islands. Something over a mile further south are three or four great knob-like, rocky, moss-covered islands rising above the surface. The largest called Huckleberry Island. South of Huckleberry, close under the mountain, is Refuge Island, so called by Mr. Smith, who with his sister Julia and two friends were here driven ashore in a fearful storm in the summer of 1870. Turning their boat bottom upward, they made themselves as comfortable as possible for the night, while friends at 14 Mile Island vainly searched and swung signals in hope that they might be guided home by them. But morning came at last, bringing with it the hungry, bedraggled, starchless quartet, to the no small joy of some and disgust of others, who thought that, in surviving the storm, the aforesaid party had defeated the designs of Providence and lost their only chance of rendering their names immortal. Following the rocky shore south of 14 Mile Island, you find many pretty bays and headlands. Further along, a little brook makes out over a beach and entering the sandy gate, you are within one of the most charming of thicket-guarded bays on the lake, alighting where a noisy brook tumbles in at its head, and following up a little way, you will be rewarded by the sight of a perfect little gem called Shelving Rock Falls. Above this, it is very difficult following the bed of the stream, but by making a detour to the right, you will soon reach the house and sawmill seen upon the east side, looking so lonesome from the deck of the passing steamer.